Okay.
Welcome back. All right, we are ready to go. Strange noises in the electronic ether tonight. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Okay, good evening to you, Jeff and Erica, back three times a week to try to help all of you, all of us, deal with the most horrific thing ever perpetrated against humankind that we know about. I guess I should throw that in there. We certainly don't know everything. What we do know is the more we study this and the more Eric turns up, the more we see how this is not heading to any kind of a happy ending under any real circumstance we can conjure up. It's just getting worse. As you know, the Germans studied very carefully a number of people who had two shots, the first two, and found out at the point of the examination and evaluation of these people that they had only 12% of their immune system left. So what does that tell you? That tells you that these people have AIDS. We're going to spend some time tonight talking again about HIV/AIDS or AIDS caused by the bioweapon. Very important distinction. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. A little bit later, just 5 minutes from now or so, we're going to bring on our special guest, Nurse Anne, who is back with us tonight. Very honored to have her. She is a big city, New York area nurse, 30-plus years in the business. They don't get any better, and she's been on a number of times, as you know. Now, a couple of quick news notes, and we're going to read two stories, short little commentary from social media. First of all, let me just remind you, if you haven't seen it yet, Project Veritas has exposed the Chairman Biden administration. They have plans now for an annual mandatory COVID shot. We think it's going to be every 6 months, not every 12 months. There's too much money to be made, so why should they wait 12 months? And too many survivors, and they want to either control or kill the survivors. That's the name of the game. So, one of the things that Erica does is monitor a number of the groups on social media. And that's where you find out, first of all, I should say, we do know that some of these groups have every possible earmark of being contrived and run by AI or real-time people who monitor and post. All right, so some of these groups are very suspect, but many of them have real people telling real stories. And the first one, we're going to do two here real quick. The first one is about, and I hope you look at it, it's about a young father dead. Two little children, loving wife. He literally fell over dead. I'm going to read this first one, and then we have another one. I'm going to ask Erica to read that one. It's a real tearjerker, but it's true. And remember, we're not hearing about, it's what the percent we're hearing about is really not measurable. It's that tiny. But it's critically important to keep in mind that this is going on all over the country all the time. Anything you want to say here before I jump in on this first story that you sent me? And it's very important, and obviously another tragedy. We're literally drowning in tragedy to the extent that no one seems to be able to react to it, except the direct victims, and they do. But, I mean, I'm seeing people carrying on like things are normal out there. Strange.
It is. I guess it just depends on where you get your information from and how engaged your senses are.
How engaged your senses are. Well said. Well said. All right, let me read this real quick. The wife, now widow, posted this. The father of my children died. Dropped dead right in front of them. At 2 and 6 years old, they lost their daddy. Traumatically. They will live almost their entire lives without one of two people who loved them the most. Without one of two people every kid deserves to grow up with. Brandon's death, her husband, shook our community, continues to shake it, and it's about to rumble more. I have been very open about every aspect of it, from posting 12 hours after his death to continuing to share our story and all aspects of my journey through grief. You, the community, have encouraged everything about this. This will be the biggest thing I share, so listen closely. Brandon died of lymphohistiocytic myocarditis. This was determined by the Ontario Coroner's Office at Kingston General Hospital. Because of the absolute shock of a healthy, active 34-year-old man dropping dead, his body was sent to Kingston for a full and extensive autopsy. The results can take several months, and I have just recently received the full report, which had to be formally requested. When they eventually gave the cause of death, it shocked both the local coroner and our family doctor. It was assumed he died of cardiomyopathy, a genetic condition that he would have been born with and gone undiagnosed. But this was not the case. Lymphohistiocytic myocarditis is caused by a virus. His heart was extensively damaged. There was so much scar tissue in his heart that it literally could not pump another beat. I had no chance at reviving him. The official report states that his entire heart was damaged, not one ventricle or one area, top to bottom, all of it damaged, fully attacked for multiple months. Brandon did not have COVID. His work supplied rapid tests, and we had done several throughout the summer and fall. The virus that killed him was likely the mRNA vaccine. Any medical professional I have spoken to and who has looked into this further has been quick to disregard the vaccine as the cause, as the, quote, research shows myocarditis cases only happening within 2 weeks of an administered dose. First off, what effing research? We are the effing research. Secondly, this is only what they are allowing to be reported. So the words of a widow, now with two children, her husband's heart was absolutely destroyed in a matter of months. Erica, this is really hard for people to believe that something like this could happen, but it's happening all the time. And how many Brandons are there out there who are two-thirds or three-fourths the way down that endless road to infinity? Many, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, we're just hearing the tip of the iceberg, and the reports of this are cropping up daily. And the frightening thing is that I think people have a false sense of security, that if they don't have any adverse events within a week or two or month of getting the shot, then they're in the clear, they're okay. But, you know, this is obviously not the case. Problems are cropping up down the line, such as this. I mean, was it three or 6 months since his last shot?
Yeah, I think it was less than six. Anyway, within that range, yeah.
So some of these destructive, degenerative processes that are occurring are happening rather subtly and silently, but nevertheless, you know, moving forward unbeknownst to the person, and only, you know, the first symptom may be a heart attack, sudden death.
This man literally dropped dead and was unrevivable in front of his own children, age 2 and age 6. They'll never forget, ever. So, yes, this is going on, and it may be, for all of you out there who have been vaxxed, shot up with this bioweapon, stay on top of your health as best as you can. Understand that you are suffering now, probably, to some degree, and maybe to a greater degree, from AIDS, not HIV/AIDS. You have the condition, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, caused by the injections. Okay, you want to read this second one from Frankie? Another
difficult one. Frankie runs one of the Facebook groups. She's been a friend of mine for about a year, maybe two at this point. Time goes by. But this was posted on Valentine's Day in honor of her son, who is now estranged from her. And I read it because this is a fairly common scenario now, where parents are becoming estranged from their own children. in a most heartless way.
Let me say one thing. Estranged is a very appropriate word. This is horribly painful for a parent who has invested his or her life or lives, the both of them, into raising children in a loving, kind, and enlightened way, to have that child or children turn on them completely. This is mind-boggling to me. Go ahead.
Okay, in Frankie's words, Valentine's Day was always a very special day for me and Preston because I lost my mother 26 years ago in a car accident. Preston was always supposed to be my permanent Valentine. We always did something special, and I would always go to his school and bring his class cookies, or we would go to the fair. I have kept every card he has ever given me. This year is different. He is under the control of Kirk Junker, and he is not allowed to communicate with me or anyone from his past. Many people that love and care for him try calling him, and he never answers. He is always too busy and never calls anyone back. Now that he is financially stable, he thinks he's better than everyone. He has no empathy. He has no soul, to the point that he is vacationing in Mexico, leaving me and the two dogs to live in a storage unit with no power. I was so cold last night, I got no sleep. This is no way to live, and Preston Meyerhoff has no connection with God. Greed has poisoned his soul. He is not the sweet, loving young man I raised anymore, and that hurts. He is full of hate now and has lost the way. Please pray for my son, and God, please protect him from all the evil going on in the world. He has no respect for me and has literally left me out in the cold. Do all things with love and get right with God, Preston. Start thinking for yourself and making your own decisions. Life is short, and you only get one mom.
Now, we don't know if Preston was vaxxed or not. Do you?
I don't know, but it seems like he came under the influence of maybe a cult of some sort.
It does sound like that. I want to point out, though, the reason I asked that question was that we do know now for a fact that personalities are being severely impacted by this bioweapon, by these injections.
Yes.
Largely because of the spike protein getting into the brain and microclotting and killing parts of the brain. Maybe it's working in other ways, too. I don't know. But people's personality, they're changing. Someone has been stable for years. You know what you expect when they come around, how they're going to act. And all of a sudden, they begin to demonstrate hostility. Or there's that mania that you used to mention that often happens early on. And then they become hostile. Something really is going on to the psyche of a lot of people who have been injected. A lot of them.
So true. It's hard to know. I mean, we've got these EMFs that can affect people's, electrical impulses in the brain. If there's toxins in there, viruses in there, who knows? I mean, the food's poison, the water's poison, the air is poison these days. And then there's the stuff in the shots.
And then there's what they call entertainment.
That's right, programming.
What they call screen addiction, TV. It's all programmed. It's all designed to lead people astray from that which they were put on this planet to endeavor to secure and to live up to. And it's horrible. Now, there are some young people who are splendid. We know that. There's some fabulous parents listening right now. And children probably listening as well. And they know that a lot of their friends are not as fortunate as they are. There's really no way I can imagine, to turn this around except to hold on to what we've got and try to protect it. And I mean what we've got, good young adults. And there are some that do listen to this program. So for all of you out there, don't give up. You must lead by example. That's crucial. All right, let's bring on our friend, Nurse Ann. Now, thank you for waiting, Ann, very much. Thanks for being back with us. How goes the war?
Thank you. I'm still in the trenches.
Yeah. The hospital Is there anything since you were on last that you're beginning to see different? And I want to move into the HIV COVID conundrum. There's a lot of flack out there now about people testing themselves for HIV. If you do, for those of you who are new, just do a search for HIV home test kits. I think you'll be quite surprised. It's happening all over the place now. Are you seeing, Anne, any evidence of HIV testing or even talk in the hospital?
No, not at this point. Some people that come through our emergency rooms that would be kind of flagged as kind of high risk or potentially that kind of situation, developing yeah. HIV, they would run those tests on them sometimes. But they're not running them on people who look like everyday, ordinary people that, you know, look like a grandma or a grandpa or a healthy young adult that does not endeavor playing around with needles and things like that. They will not test those type of people for HIV.
Are you hearing anything else from any of your colleagues about in other hospitals testing for? And I had a friend who was murdered in the hospital in Florida. He was tested how many times, Erica? Two, three?
Oh, I think it was three or four.
He was tested several times at least for, and this was on the test, HIV hyphen COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That was the actual title of the test that he was given, HIV COVID. And I wonder if your hospital might do a 180 and start testing more and more people instead of COVID for HIV. Because the push to sell and get people familiar with the idea that you can buy your own HIV home test kit seems to be gaining momentum. And I'm just wondering if this may be the next trick that they're going to try to use to hide the fact that all these people coming into your hospital who have been shot up do indeed have AIDS, but it's not HIV AIDS, and I think they're going to try to blame it on HIV. Does that make sense to you?
It does, actually. It makes a lot of sense. But again, it's not a given that everybody will be tested for it. I see all the paperwork that comes from our emergency room when we get our patients admitted to the intensive care, and it's still running the PCR tests, and some of them are, you know, basically still questioning if it's truly COVID. You'll see now where it might be they're unlikely, you know, because they're presenting with something else. But I will tell you what people are presenting with that's very interesting and where the connection might be with HIV, because I did overhear a conversation, and the physicians were saying that in the very late stages of the phases of HIV, in the latent part of that infection virus, that it starts to really do a major destruction of lymph nodes and the spleen, and you will see, for a while you won't see any clinical manifestations at all for a while, but then you'll start to see it just hits a home run, and you'll start seeing a lot more issues. You'll see such as things like increased susceptibility to infections, and that would have been infections that would have been treated previously, and now they're back for the same infection.
Right. Well, their immune systems are going down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, their immune system is getting attacked on a major scale. But where we're seeing a lot of like correlation is what they're defining as the GI COVID. And the GI COVID makes people present with abdominal pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and you'll have it for days on end. You'll have it for so long. And you will think initially it's a stomach bug. But this was an infectious disease doctor. They were talking to a GI doctor. They were trying to rule out why this patient was coming in. They thought it might maybe it's ulcer colitis or something like Crohn's.
Yeah, Crohn's, something like that, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing about it is that the patient didn't have that in their history.
If I hear you right, they have a new handle for it, and they're calling it GI COVID. Is that what I heard?
GI COVID, yeah. It's manifesting as GI symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And then they're sick for weeks on end with the same issues. There's weight loss, chronic fatigue. A lot of people said it, chronic fatigue. A lot of the older people are coming in emaciated and just can't hold anything down. So they're coming in, and we're putting two beatings in, and we're giving them electrolyte replacements because they can no longer sustain taking it orally themselves.
Wow. Now, Erica, a couple months ago, began to suggest that there may very well be a significant, if not severe, GI component to this whole COVID scam, whatever it is. And it looks like that's come home to roost, Erica.
You know, it's hard to know because, I mean, it could just be the virus wreaking havoc on the ACE2 receptors that are present throughout the intestinal tract. And when that happens, yeah, you can have an overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria, because the good bacteria are being starved of what they need to function properly because of that ACE2 receptor dysregulation. The other possibility is that the spike protein or portions, viral segments, can infect the bacteria that live in the gut and cause them to produce toxins. It's hard to know. And then, of course, if there is some type of immune suppression going on, then who knows?
I think we can kind of count on that. That's got to be just about a given now.
Let's not forget that one manifestation of HIV, the virus HIV, the original HIV, diarrhea was common with that, too.
Right.
Yeah,
so because of the lack of, I think, differential diagnosis and testing, we're not really ever going to know what it is. I mean, I guess, how are you treating it? Is it just, are you giving them antibiotics? Does that help? Or
yeah, that's what typically they're doing, is they're giving them, because they're coming in they're coming in so dehydrated, and their electrolytes are like completely depleted in most cases. They'll be required to go on a cardiac heart monitor, because now they're running the risk of going into any kind of an arrhythmia because of their potassium levels and their magnesium levels. So we're giving massive amounts of replacements of electrolytes. Then we're throwing them with fluids, and then we're giving all different kinds of antibiotics.
Wow.
And
percentage of people who are vaxxed suffering with this GI COVID syndrome?
These past few days that I've worked, would it be 100% vaxxed?
Mm-hmm.
All of the clients I saw, this would have been 100%. There wasn't anybody that didn't have, that wasn't vaxxed.
Are you testing for immune function? Are you running tests in there routinely on vax people who come in for immune competence? And if so, what kind of tests would those be?
I've seen them actually do, they'll check for the antigens. the IgEs and the IgAs and things like that. I've seen them check for that, but not on every case. It's not on every case. So it's kind of whosoever, whatever physician is following them and managing them. But if you, I find that the infectious disease doctors, they're pretty good about jumping on it and trying to siphon out what might be going on. But there's a lot of the cases right now that we have in our ICU that they have no idea of what's making these people so sick.
Is the clotting still an issue?
Yeah, it's still. We're still seeing clotting. We're still seeing that very dark black blood.
So
you
conceivably,
see, you see it a lot more. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. go ahead.
You see it a lot more with people that have been vaxxed, say, for like over 3 months into the 6 month arena. That's when you start to see a lot of the blood supply is getting, you know, where it's, there's a lot of clot formation, whether it's small clots or big clots, and then the blood is very dark. It's actually very black when it comes out.
Wow. So I wonder in some of these cases of the GI COVID, if it isn't a blood supply issue to the intestines. You know, the gut bacteria, you know, the gut bacteria needs, you know, blood supply as well, and if that's somehow compromised, you know, you've got probably almost necrotic tissue in there.
Yeah,
and overlay,
actually,
I
wouldn't disagree with that, actually. I would because the other thing is, and this is deplorable, but we're hitting them with massive amounts of different types of very aggressive antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're wiping out all of their good flora. And the sad part about all this is we're not actually giving them any kind of a probiotic to prevent that.
Like, how can that be?
See some,
how can they not give them probiotics? I don't understand.
I will tell you the orders from the physicians, especially the physicians that are like medicine, internal med, or if they're GI or whatever. Now, I'm very surprised by GI, actually, but they're usually the biggest culprits that are the ones that are not actually ordering the probiotics. And it's the infectious disease doctors who actually do try to order the probiotics. Hmm. So, but they're probably brought in for one consultation. They give it, and most times they don't follow the case after that. They're done. In and out.
Mm.
Do you think that what we're seeing, we'll call it GI COVID, is something that is being transmitted, or is it a part and parcel of the collapse? You said 100% of the patients, to your knowledge, were vaxxed, shot up.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a manifestation of a declining, dying immune system? Or is it something that's being spread? Is it a virus or a bacteria? Or is it all of the above?
That's a tough question. I mean, that's a real tough question to answer, because even the physicians are like, you know, batting their heads against the wall at this point, trying to figure out what it is. The thing about it is it's affecting people so badly that they become so weak that they end up falling, or they have like what they come into our ER unresponsive, are with an altered mental status. You know, that's their initial diagnosis. And then they get worked up, and then they come to find out all of this is going on for maybe a week or two prior to them coming into the hospital.
But when you say mental status, what do you mean? Altered mental status.
So their mentation, basically they've come in through the emergency room, and their mentation is altered, and then in that the families will say, this doesn't sound like the person I know. That they're confused. They're presenting with some neurological issues, and we're still seeing a lot of neurological deficits. We're still seeing a lot of strokes, and we're still seeing a lot of. Now, the other thing we're seeing is they're starting to see incidents of encephalitis. High incidence of that, by the way. High. So there's a lot of combinations of things that are going on at the moment. But now, is that a virus or is it a bacteria? It's like the first thing that they think of when they hear diarrhea is C. diff. Well, they tested a 36-year-old tonight or a couple of nights ago for C. diff. And she came back negative. It's not C. diff. So whatever is going on with this young woman who's very sick, and by the way, she also had COVID about 3 months before that, and she was on a ventilator and was a survivor and came off, and she has a trach. So, yeah.
This is horrible. This is horrible. And how many people are not recovering and going home now? Are you seeing a lot of fatalities?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of, sadly, for the older population, we're seeing a lot of where the families are basically making the decisions to make the patients DNR, do not resuscitate, do not intubate,
right.
And they're going
right.
into hospice palliative care. If they come from home, they won't be going back home, that's for sure. They're going elsewhere, but they're not going home. They'll either go to like a long-term care facility or a subacute care facility. So I imagine the subacute care facilities and long-term care facilities are seeing a lot of rampant bad infections going through possibly their potential healthy population prior to all of these people that are being sent from the hospital to their facilities.
Wow.
All right, I want to go back to the HIV thing. This appears to be a major operation that is just now begun to be pushed. There was a case in Norway, was it, Erica? There they had a very virulent, allegedly, HIV case. Was it Norway?
They've detected a especially virulent strain of HIV. Is it the Netherlands or Norway, one or the other?
So here we go. Let's go back and rewind the clock a little bit. When did the U.S. approve? Now, remember, there's a lot of money in this. You've got to remember. They approved an HIV test kit, do-it-yourself, home test kit, here in the U.S., and they did it in Canada. What were the dates of those approval? Do you remember?
As far as I can tell, the home test for HIV in the U.S. was made available sometime in June of 2020. So that
That's
was a year
back.
And a half ago. Yeah.
Wow.
And then Canada, I think it was November maybe of 2020.
So they've been getting ready for
that,
this.
I'd never heard of that. But it is interesting that, I have never heard so much about HIV right now. The only other time was when they first discovered it or announced it.
And this is a year and a half ago that they approved these home do-it-yourself test kits for HIV. Again, you can just look it up online, HIV test kits. You'll see them. They're all there. You can buy one right now.
And let's not forget, the UK is, as of a week or two ago, is prompting people to get tested for HIV routinely with a goal of wiping out HIV by 2030.
And this, we think, is again an excuse, a misdirection to hide the destruction of the immune system from the bioweapon injections. They're going to call it HIV/AIDS, but it's not. It's vaccine-induced AIDS or VAIDS. There's going to be confusion, and I'm very interested to see. Go ahead, Ann. Yeah.
I think back, when you think back to, it's nearly the 40-year marker now since AIDS had been discovered, since the first AIDS case was discovered.
1970-something.
I was living at home at that point. And so the presentations of the HIV virus is very similar to the presentations of what we're seeing now. Like with the the clinical signs and symptoms we're seeing are very similar to what was how the AIDS virus attacked the immune system over a period of time. And by the way, it did actually attack a lot of organs at the same time when it first came out.
Yes.
And so again, whatever this is doing something very similar, or
and that serves
so.
That serves their purpose of misdirecting people away from the vaccine, saying, "Well, the immune system is being destroyed by HIV." Nothing to do with the vaccine.
Yeah,
don't worry about
it. To the average person, it's going to be indistinguishable. I mean, the average person just knows that they're getting sick constantly. They have mouth sores, fatigue.
Let me read that little story you sent me.
Go ahead.
Perfect. All right, this came today off one of the social media groups. Hi, Katia, I hope you don't mind messaging you here about the recent HIV article you shared. I don't think I can comment publicly about it. Thank you, regulated profession. But myself and colleagues are starting to see AIDS-like conditions in our practices. Mouth sores, skin sores, night sweats, tonsillitis, in quotes, that don't respond to antibiotics, dramatic weight loss, bloodshot eyes. When these people go to the hospital, they're being told that, quote, their immune systems are shot, end quote. And the doctors don't really know what to do about it apart from try different medications. One of my patients with this condition told the consultant that they, quote, hadn't felt right, end quote, after their second shot. And suddenly the testing was a lot more conscientious. Huh? We're only seeing this sort of thing in vaxxed people. We're seeing it only in vaxxed people. So this is the collapse of the human immune system. And if you remember, two nights ago, I read that piece from the 1970 House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing on the Department of Defense asking for $10 million to build a biological weapon that would destroy the human immune system. And that was in 1970. And they got their money, and they went right off to the races with it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. In addition to the mouth sores and the fevers, the weight loss, there's the swollen lymph nodes. There's we're seeing all the oddball cancers cropping up.
So that's continuing. The cancer
that's
epidemic.
Yeah, that's continuing, and it's affecting every age group. That's the other thing. It doesn't go after one particular age group or gender. It affects both sexes and all ages equally. There's no discerning one from the other.
So you're seeing little children come in there with terrible, terrible conditions.
Yep. And the bleeds. The bleeding is huge in the kids, and it's actually in the adults as well. And you'll see a lot of the pulmonary edema. And like one of the pulmonologists was there. I was working today, and one of the pulmonologists was there talking to us, and he was saying, you know, there's a lot of pulmonary edema with the patients who have COVID, and they're exposed to so much infection, they're coming in septic, and they are. And but he was saying that the T cells. And, this is how this conversation happened. There was a couple of doctors talking. The T cells was the one that was the biggest targeted when HIV first came out. And apparently that goes after the lining around the lungs. It particularly targets that particular, I believe it's the hyalin, and it goes after that membrane that protects the lungs from that the fluid building up. So
remember, Erica.
Yes.
One of the most pronounced disorders from original AIDS was pneumocystis carinii. I think it's carinii pneumonia. It was lungs.
Yeah, that was
being
a hallmark.
Impacted.
A hallmark disease.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know.
So I wouldn't expect to see the pneumocystis, but because we do not believe, unless HIV is going to be introduced to the masses, that HIV is going to be responsible for the destruction of the immune systems, which you're seeing every day at work, and we're hearing and writing and reading about here all the time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These people
are dying.
Well,
there's more than one way destroy an immune system. I mean, HIV compared to what's going on with these injections,
yeah.
I mean, that's kids play. This is like, accelerated HIV on steroids.
It is, definitely. I would agree, because it goes after every organ. And it depends on, it depends on if the person has they may not even have a big medical history. That's the other thing. They could be very healthy. And, well, look at this 36-year-old. She was very healthy 6 months ago. And
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And then she got her shot.
Mm-hmm. And so she, yep. And
when
now
are,
she's
when are,
a whole host of problems.
When are these doctors, Anne, going to face reality here? That these people are being exterminated by these shots. It's so painfully obvious to anyone who looks at this from any perspective at all, I would think, that they could see the connection. It's a joke. These people are being murdered.
Yeah.
Is there any talk like that at work? Is anyone talking about this?
There is physicians that are talking about it, and they're trying to put the pieces together, and I'm sure a lot, they're very smart. I'm sure a lot of them already kind of know. And then the thing about it is, the really hardcore physicians who really felt strongly about the vaccines against, if they came out against them, left the field, just like the nurses did.
They quit.
The people who, yeah. They went and they did something else. You won't find those physicians in the hospital. You'll find the physicians who went along with the system.
What is the general feeling among the professional healthcare staff members that you work with at that hospital? Are they confused?
Well,
is there chaos? Are they afraid? How do they feel? What's the general sense of the employees that are trying to take care of these dying people?
Well, the thing about it is that a lot of them are jaded now, and they went along with some of them went along with the vaccines when it was mandated, and now this situation where they're now mandating for a third. And they're losing a lot of nurses. They're sick. They cannot hold on to their staff nurses. They're staffing now their facilities with pretty much all travel nurses. It's the majority of that makes up the staff. Their staff nurses are leaving, and they're going out, and they're traveling, and they're trying to find places that allow you to work where the vaccine mandate isn't required. So in particular states in the United States, you're going to find you're going to be hurting nurses for a long time. You're not going to have them because they're not going to stay in that state and work there. If they can go to another state and make another life and not have to take another shot.
Pretty grim.
We're approaching that, what is it, February 24th?
February 24th.
For your state? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is there any talk of
backing
down? One night I went into work, and I work in two different kinds of ICU units, and the one unit I went down to visit and say hello to them for a few minutes, and I found out three of the nurses had handed in their 2 weeks' notice on that particular unit, their own staff.
Wow.
And then I went up to the unit where I was working myself, and four nurses had given their notice.
That's going to hurt.
I mean, you know, you can't run a system, health care system based on the fact that you're losing some of the most qualified. And that's the other thing I should mention is that you're losing expertise like you can't believe. You're losing qualified nurses that have maybe 15, 20, 30 years behind them. You're losing them. And they're just going to pick it up and leave and start over somewhere else. And they're willing to do that.
Well, and so if the goal is to collapse the healthcare system, they're doing it.
There'll be certain states. If you looked at the job markets, you will see there's certain states constantly looking for nurses. California is one of them, always. Constantly looking for nurses. Yeah, interesting. Michigan's looking for nurses constantly. Iowa is looking for nurses. Arizona, and there was a whole ordeal with Arizona where there was a system that actually wasn't kind to travel nurses, and they're paying a heavy price for it now. But that was one of the, so if from the standpoint of where nurses can go, there's lots of places they can move around in and actually they can make a better living now as a travel nurse and have a probably a better quality of life because they don't have management breathing down their necks about you've got to get this vaccine. We need proof of the paperwork.
Are you seeing any foreign nurses or healthcare workers being flown in here yet, like from the Philippines,
no.
from India, so forth? Not
no,
yet.
No, but I did hear about that they are planning on bringing Philippine nurses in, but to what state, I don't know yet. But I did hear mumblings from the Philippines.
How much longer before we begin to see... go ahead, Erica. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that what qualifications do you think these Filipino nurses have? I mean, you know, there are various levels of skilled nursing, and I find it hard to believe that any of these foreigners being flown in casually just aren't going to cut the mustard.
Funny enough, I'd say there's a lot of qualified Philippine nurses. They go through a very rigorous training over there. Now, where they
even
might
for
lack
IT,
in ICU might
ICU
be
level?
Their challenge. Yeah,
okay.
ICU and emergency room would be their challenge.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long before
we
begin
to
see? Yes, it will. How long before we begin to see major hospitals begin to shut down or radically close their operational capability, according to
Watch
staff?
Watch the individual states. You'll see it by individual state. That's how it'll happen.
All right.
And the states that are pushing the mandates the most are the ones you'll see collapse first. And a time frame? I don't know. We'll watch it. You'll see.
Ann, thank you for being here. Go get some rest. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Ann.
Anytime. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Well, I think the future pathway is rather clear. More crises all the time, hospitals beginning to close, foreigners brought in to try and pick up some of the slack, but above all, suffering, catastrophe, and death for the vaxxed. That's
yeah, that 3 months to 6 months out. I mean, she reiterated it. I mean, that was basically the gist of that first story we read with the deceased father of two.
Yeah.
3 to 6 months it seems to be a time frame when complications arise with a vengeance.
Begin to really show up. Yeah.
Yep.
Think about it like this. You got your shot last May or June, July, whatever, 3 to 6 months. All that time, if you got a real shot, your immune system is in a steep decline. Your heart may be turned into an unusable organ in your body. Your kidneys, your brain, your personality's changed. I've seen this in people already myself. So it's going to be very, very difficult this year, to put it mildly. Any final word, Erica? Anything else?
No, it's a very sobering situation.
Next time, Friday, we're going to talk more about transmission and shedding, which is not diminishing at all, and it's not being talked about, so we're going to try and bring you up to speed on that, among other things, on Friday. Okay, thank you, Erica. All right.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good evening, and good night, everyone.